Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. Well, that's the text verse. We'll begin with verse 25 and read responsively through verse 34. Your Schofield Bible, page 1226. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 25 through 34, page 1226. As we're used to doing here, we stand for the reading of God's Word. Let's do so. We'll read the verses responsively. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Once again, that 34th verse is the text verse. And let's pray. Gracious God, we do pray for thy help in the service tonight. We believe that thou art pleased with us here at First Baptist. We believe that thou art pleased with the emphasis here that is put upon the winning of the lost to Jesus and the programs that are in effect here in order to accomplish just that purpose. We believe because of that and for other reasons that you're pleased to be with us. May we please thee by our attentiveness as well, our willingness to hear and do thy word. Give gracious, blessed strength and power to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Several folks asked me, since you're making this movie or why don't you have a big day and let people see us during the spring program? I don't want them to see us during the spring program. I want them to see us like they'll see us if they come to visit us any particular Sunday. So we didn't make anything to do about this, didn't announce it. We just told the Sunday school classes last Wednesday night that we're going to come in, the department's going to come in. So I wanted the folks to see us as we are 52 weeks a year instead of during our big day. I want to speak tonight on the subject, he that warneth souls is wise. Yes, I said he that warneth souls is wise. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that just a few more shall be brought into the kingdom and to our Savior because of this message tonight. I pray that just a few more people will enter into this business of trying to get people saved. Give us tonight alertness of mind, warmth of spirit as we speak and as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. No, not he that winneth souls is wise. That's not my sermon tonight. My sermon tonight is he that warneth souls is wise. Oh yes, we're supposed to win souls. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him. He that winneth souls is wise. They that turn men to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. And certainly we are commanded by God to be soul winners. However, there are some people who are young at it and haven't won anyone yet. There are some people who go out and win none and come back discouraged, and some are not as good at it as others are. And so, consequently, I want to speak tonight on he that warneth souls is wise. At the ordination service last night, I made mention of the fact that three main jobs of the preacher. One is to teach people not to do wrong, not to do bad. Another is to teach people to do good and how to do good. And another is to prepare opportunities and avenues for people so they will have chances and ways and opportunities to do good. Now tonight I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to give some of you who are a little shyer maybe and not winning souls to Christ something you can do. I'm not for anybody not being a soul winner. I think everybody ought to be a soul winner. But I'm not going to kick you out of the church because you're not, because we need your money. And I'm not going to kick you out of the church. One of these days you're going to be a soul winner. But until you come to the place where you are a soul winner, I'm giving you tonight an avenue of service for God. You can be a soul warner. I was at O'Hare Field, where I live, before they had the United Terminal or the United Plumbing Company out there. But I was at, when they just had the two big terminals and the big round place in the middle, and a couple of hallways that go from each of the terminals to this restaurant center in the middle. And I was walking down one of those hallways, and a fellow was standing there preaching. And, brother, he was letting her rip. Nobody listening to him, everybody walking by, but he was letting her rip. Now, you got to get born again, you're going to go to hell, and the whole thing. And big words always throw me. So, ball of wax, that's what I wanted, ball of wax. I said bag of wax, but anyway. He was preaching up a storm. And I stopped and I said, my brother, may I commend you for what you're doing? And he said, thank you, sir. And I said, I admire you standing here preaching like that. And I just wanted to shake your hand and tell you I appreciate it. And I said, my name is Jack Hiles, what is yours? And I said that. He backed off and said, oh, he said, you're one of my heroes. And I'm sure you understand why. And he said, you're one of my heroes. He said, I'll tell you what, I've always wanted to shake your hand. And I said to me, sir, I'm more honored to shake your hand than you are to shake mine. You're the fellow who's standing here preaching, and I'm not. You're the fellow that's telling the people about the Savior, and I'm not. Then I said to him something. I said, have you won anybody today? And he said this, no, but I've warned a lot. Have you won anybody today? He said, no, but I've warned a lot. I think we have not emphasized enough the self-gratification that ought to come to us when we tell people the story of Christ. And we become soul warners. Now, all of us ought to be soul winners. But there's a learning time, and there's a time of a little timidity. And so it may be that you cannot be a soul winner, or it may be you will not be a soul winner. Well, I want to present this suggestion tonight that you become a soul warner. Look at the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's it. And teach all nations. Now it does not say there, win them to Christ. It does imply that when it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but teach all nations. In Mark 16:15, it says, preach the gospel to every creature. Does not say anything in Mark's Great Commission in Mark about getting folks saved. Now, he's assuming we will get people saved, and they that goeth forth and weep and bearing precious seed will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. However, that we have fulfilled the Great Commission, the preaching part, if we preach the gospel to every creature. And that doesn't mean standing behind a pulpit preaching. That means getting the gospel to everybody that you possibly can. Look in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. God said to Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman on the wall. Now he said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, he said, thou givest him not warning. Amen now, thou givest him not warning. He shall die in his iniquity, and thy sin will I require at his sin will I require at your hands, and his blood will be upon your hands.
Now, if you tell somebody how to be saved and they get saved, that's all the more wonderful. But if you tell somebody how to get saved and they don't get saved, at least you've washed your hands and washed their blood off your hands. I'm saying this, when you go out soul winning and don't win anybody, you ought to come back anyway happy about it, because you've got to wash your hands and you got to warn people. I'm saying everybody should be a soul winner, but everybody can be a soul warner. He said, or if you don't speak to warn the wicked of his wicked way. What does that mean? That means if I stand up here and don't warn you young people against rock music, that means when you tragedy comes your way, I'm going to have your blood on my hands. And that means you parents that let your children watch these dirty, sex-oriented, primetime television programs, when your children break your heart, their blood's going to be on your hands. I'm saying that we are supposed to warn people. And God said to Ezekiel, you're my captivity preacher. Ezekiel was not a preacher in Jerusalem. He was not a preacher in Palestine or the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. He was in the land of Babylon, Iraq, if you please. He was preaching in Iraq to the people in captivity. The 70 years we call the Babylonian captivity. And God said, Ezekiel, he said, if you see the people in their sins and don't warn them of their sins, their blood will I require at your hand. But he said, if you warn the wicked of their sins, he said, thou hast delivered thy soul. He said, not only, Ezekiel, are you to warn the wicked to turn from their sins, but you're to warn the righteous not to go into sin. He said, if you see a righteous man and he's about to go in sin, you warn him not to go in sin. And if you don't warn him and he goes in sin, his blood will I require at your hands. But if you do warn him of his sins, then he goes into sin, at least thou hast delivered my soul. I wonder how many preachers in this country are going to stand someday before God Almighty with their hands dripping with the blood of people because they wouldn't preach the hellfire and damnation message. They wouldn't preach you must be born again. They wouldn't preach that hell is fire. They wouldn't preach the judgments of God. They wouldn't preach you must someday stand before God. They wouldn't preach it's appointed a man wants to die and after death the judgment. God is saying here, he's saying, okay, Ezekiel, it may be they won't listen, but at least you can warn them. You may not be a soul winner, but you can be a soul warner, if you please. Oh, look at 1 Corinthians 15:34. We read it just a while ago. Paul said, some have not the knowledge of God. Some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Listen to me, young folks. Some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Now, you hear me. Every person in the city of Hammond ought to at least know how to be saved. Now, he may reject the plan of salvation, but we ought to see to it that every person in the Calumet region understands or has had at least one clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we decide to go soul winning and never win another soul, we're at least supposed to give everybody a clear presentation of the plan, so we have washed them of our hands and we have become not soul winners but soul warners. Everybody in Chicago, that great asphalt jungle in Chicago, that great city of sin and heartbreak and poverty and gangland and ghettos and little children who don't know who their daddies are, that great place of dope and godlessness and murder in Chicago, it is the job of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, to see that every single person in this great Chicago area at least understands the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are responsible to tell them that they're sinners. We are responsible to tell them that the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We are responsible to tell them that God came to the world in the form of a man. His name was Jesus, virgin born, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, rose after 72 hours for our justification. And if a person will put their trust and their faith in him, not the church, not the baptistry, not the Lord's Supper table, not the El Papa in Rome, not the priest across the street, but trust in Jesus. Not your good works, not your nomination, not your confirmation, not your infant baptism, but in Jesus. Listen. We owe it to everybody in Chicago. We're debtors to all the people in this great area to get the gospel plan to every single one of them. Well, you say, preacher, I went out soul winning all day Saturday. I didn't win anybody. Okay, then go soul warning. and you washed your hands of their blood. Paul said, you Corinthians, quit fussing and get the gospel out. He said, you quit dividing into followers of Apollos and Peter and Paul and get the gospel out. He said, get out of your carnal living and get the gospel out. He said, quit talking in tongues folks can't understand and talk in tongues folks can't understand and get the gospel out. He said, cut out your charismatic hodgepodge and get the gospel out. I'm saying, he's saying to the Christian people, he's saying that some people have not received a clear presentation of the glorious gospel of redeeming grace, and he said it is your job and your responsibility to get the gospel out, and it says some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now listen, you say, Brother Hiles, I just couldn't be a soul winner. Okay, then be a soul warner. Could you paint Jesus Saves on a rock in front of your house? Huh? Could you put You Must Be Born Again on the bumper sticker of your on the bumper of your car? You could do like Joe Boyd did and write Jesus Saves on the stomach of your dog. Joe Boyd had a dog, had a tail that long. Every time anybody came to the house, first thing they did was step on that tail. I'm not kidding you. I saw the dog. I saw him do it. I'm not kidding you. Scout's honor, cross my heart. It's the truth. That dog had his tail stepped on so much, everybody came there, stepped on his tail. That dog got the place where he put his tail right at the door to get it over with when you first got there. And he would lay there like this, with his stomach up like this, and Joe Boyd put Jesus Saves on the stomach of his dog. Now, you can do that. You see, what I'm trying to say, okay, so you're not going to bring anybody to Jesus. And I'm not, I think you ought to be a soul winner. I'm not excusing for you, but I'm simply saying, if you can't be a soul winner, everybody can be a soul warner. We had a man in our church in Texas named Raymond Duncan. Raymond Duncan got saved. Here's how he got saved. He was a truck driver. He was driving down the street one day, and no kidding, on a big stone beside the road, there were the words, Jesus Saves. And the Holy Spirit had so accompanied that message on that stone, this truck driver pulled over beside the road and got saved because of the Jesus Saves on that stone. Oh, you say, I can't win souls. They'll get John 3:16 and go to the ball games then. I was in Baltimore, Maryland. A fellow walked up to me and said, thank you for winning me to Jesus. And I said, sir, I don't think I won you to Jesus. Oh, he said, yes, you did. I said, when? He said, I bought a brand new car. And he said, on the way home, after I bought the car, I looked in the tape player there, and there was a tape in the tape player. And it was one of your sermons. And he said, I turned on the tape player to see what it was about, and I heard you preaching. And he said, I got saved because of that tape. Hey, won't you go on the new car tape evangelism? You know what y'all do? You ought to think of some good, clever ideas to be soul warners. Can't be a soul winner. You ought to be someday. But while you're growing into that, be a soul warner. You can use some method. These book of sermons that we're going to put out in 2013. Dan Mendenhall, who was led of God to put all of my sermons in book form, and the first book will be out sometime. And we think it'll be out when? You know. About a week and a half. We're not saying from when, but about a week and a half from sometime. But, I gave a staff a copy of this letter, each staff member a copy of this letter. I got a letter from a lady in New York City. She was New York City, wasn't she? New York City. She said, dear Dr. Hiles, I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. She said, I left a good job. I think she said she made $30,000 a year. I left a good job, but still I went to Knoxville and couldn't find the job. So I answered an ad in the newspaper to transcribe some sermons on tape. And she said, little did I realize, it was about to change my life. She said, Reverend Hiles, it was typing sermons for the first volume of your set of sermons, a book of sermons. And she said, when I first started listening to you, I got so mad at you. And she said, I tell you, I couldn't agree with what you said. But she said, the more I heard, she said, the more God began to grip my soul. And to make a long story short, she said she got saved because she listened to those tapes. Won't you go into tape transcribing sermon book evangelism? I mean, figure your own way out. Figure it out. Be a soul warner. I was at Riverside Trinity Baptist Church years ago in Fort Worth, Texas. They had a 3-week revival campaign. Harvey Springer, the famous old cowboy evangelist, preached for 1 week. And the pastor, Harold Florey, preached 1 week. And I came in and closed it out and preached 1 week. It was in the springtime, I think. But oh, my soul, they had a cold spell, the like of which you seldom see in Texas. Ice everywhere. You couldn't drive and you could hardly walk. And they built a tabernacle just for this big meeting, a 1,000-seat tabernacle. And on a Friday night, the weather was so bad, 10 people showed up. Well, didn't have any heating for the tent, so somebody brought a gas heater and put it way back in the back, about two-thirds back, right in the middle. And 10 people showed up to hear me preach in that 1,000-seat tabernacle. And I was up here, and all 10 of those folks were gathered around that stove. Nobody watching me, nobody paying attention to me at all. And I preached that night on to hell and back. I wanted to warm it up as best I could. And I preached on to hell and back. And not one person looked at me. I preached the whole sermon, unloaded the whole truck, and not one person looked at me. They were back there warming their hands, free, and I was freezing to death, absolutely freezing to death. And I preached on a whole sermon, I mean an hour, I preached on the subject of hell for an hour, and nobody even looked at me, much less walked the aisle. Years passed. I was preaching in Birmingham, Michigan. It was an afternoon service, a preacher's fellowship meeting. House was packed and jammed. Big, tall, good-looking young man, about 35, 40 years of age, stood up. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, I pastor a church here in this area. He said, I'll ask for the permission and privilege of introducing Dr. Hiles this afternoon because Dr. Hiles wanted me to Jesus. Well, I didn't know I'd ever seen that young man. I was a young man, 35 years old or so. And he said, one night years ago at the Riverside Trinity Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, in a big tabernacle, seated 1,000 people, he said, Dr. Hiles was preaching. And the ice storm came, and nobody could get there but 10 people. And he said those 10 people were back in the back, and they were around a fire back there. And nobody listened, but he said, Dr. Hiles preached on to hell and back, and preached an hour. And so that man preached as if he had 1,000 people in that big tent. And he said he didn't know it. But he said, I got saved that night. He said, I want to thank Dr. Hiles for winning me to Jesus. I was not a soul winner. I was a soul warner. And that's what God said to Ezekiel. Hey, you know, Isaiah didn't get many people saved. He was a soul warner. And Ezekiel didn't get many people saved. He was a soul warner. I'm not saying that you ought not to get people saved. I'm saying the least you ought to do is warn people. And if you want to win people, you can warn people. And there are many ways you can figure out how you can warn folks to get saved. I was out soul winning. I tried to win a lady. I couldn't. Years later, I was preaching in that same city. And this lady came to me, and she said, Brother Hiles, you won me to Jesus. I said, no, ma'am, I tried, but I didn't. She said, yes, you did. She said, several weeks later, I got under conviction, and I went right back in the same chair where I was when you tried to win me to Christ. And I pictured you being there, and I pictured you talking to me, and I answered you. I went through the entire conversation that we had, and I bowed on my knees, and I got saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is there a hell or not? I mean, the people that die without God go to hell and is hell fire. Is that true or not? If it's not true, let's all eat, drink, be merry. Let's all join the MacArthur Swindoll crowd. Let's all live it up. Let's all go out and get a skirt and look like Mr. Schuller. And let's all go to possibility thinking and power positive thinking and psychological gospel. But if there's a hell, in God's name, let's win and let's warn people about the judgment of Almighty God. I had a little lady in my church named in Texas, in Garland, Texas, named Mrs. Hensley. Mrs. Hensley was the biggest introvert. She was the most introverted person I've ever seen. Introverted fellows mean shy and timid. And I wanted to get that, shy and timid. And Mrs. I don't think I ever heard her say anything. Quiet, little
introvert, little lady, and not real pretty. She would have fit in real, but anyway, no, I don't mean the pretty part. I mean, y'all are shy like she was. That's what I mean. But Mrs. Hensley, as far as I know, never won a soul to Christ. You know what she did? Every morning, about an hour before she went to work in downtown Dallas, she got a little stack of tracts about like that. Every morning, and she went to the bus station. And almost apologetically, she passed out a gospel tract to everybody who boarded a bus. Just stand there, and as it got on the bus, she'd pass out. That's all she did. She never said, you know, if you died, you'd go to heaven. She never won anybody to Christ. As far as I know, never brought anybody down the aisle. She was not a soul winner, but she was a soul warner. He said, I'm too shy to be a soul winner. Be a soul warner. Get you four or five dogs and write Jesus Saves on them. Or you can write Romans 3:10 on one, Romans 3:12 on the other, Romans 3:23 on the other, Romans 5:8 on the other. Get you a whole mess, litter of them. And but I'm saying, she just passed out the tract. That's all she did. I got a letter one day. Dear Reverend Hiles, the letter was from the Huntsville Penitentiary. He said, you don't know me, but he said, Mrs. Hensley in your church is the lady I owe my salvation to. He said, I had just left my wife and my children and said goodbye to my family and boarded a bus with an armed guard to go to the state penitentiary in Huntsville, where I'm now serving a sentence for a crime. He said, a little lady, short lady, almost apologetically, timidly looked up and didn't even hardly look at me, really. She handed me a little tract and had her name signed, Mrs. Hensley, on the bottom. And he said, I needed that tract at that time. My whole world had crumbled. Everything that I had, I'd lost. And then that little tract said that God loved me and Jesus wanted to save me. He said, Reverend Hiles, I bowed my head on that bus and trusted Jesus as my Savior. Now, he said, I'm going to come to your church one of these days, and I'm going to thank Mrs. Hensley for passing out that tract. And one Sunday morning, invitation time came at Miller Road Baptist Church, and great crowd of people there. And down the aisle over here came a tall, good-looking man in a nice suit and tie and well-shined shoes. And he called his name, and I said, don't I know that name? Oh, yes, I wrote you one time. He said, is Mrs. Hensley here? And I brought him up to the platform. And I said, Mrs. Hensley, would you come, please? And she came up, and I read the letter, and he thanked Mrs. Hensley for warning him. Now, she didn't win him. She warned him. He that warneth souls is wise. Now, I realize that many of you are never going to win a soul. I mean, you wouldn't win a soul to see the Mississippi River tied in a bow knot, and you're not going to ever do it. I understand that. And I realize that some of you are never going to warn anybody. All you're going to do is fill up so much pew, increasingly so, with the passing of the years, and fill up so much pew, and you're never going to get into this thing. But some of you who are not winning souls, the least you can do is warn souls. He that warneth souls, that's what God said to Ezekiel, that's what God said to Isaiah, that's what God said to the Corinthian people. And he said, I'm not going to get saved when I'm in trouble. He's on his deathbed. He died and went to hell. Listen to me, sailors. He died and went to hell. I did not win him on his deathbed, but I warned him, and his blood's off my hands. I've gone out and have come home empty time and time again, but there's always a sense of joy when I get to present the gospel. Hey, I love to hear the story. If I just tell it, it makes me feel good. Oh, Brother Hiles, I went out and didn't win anybody. Didn't you warn anybody? Okay, then you've washed your hands of their blood. You say, Brother Hiles, you won't get me to quit rock music, you young people. You won't get me to quit rock music. No, I may not do it, but I can wash your blood off my hands. And you run around that rock crowd and wreck your life and ruin your life, and you haven't got anything to live for. Your health is gone. Everything that's decent is gone. You won't point your finger out of hell at me and say, you didn't warn me. I warned you. And if I couldn't ever get a single person to quit rock music, if not one single young person ever gave up rock music, if not one single person ever walked this aisle and said, I'm giving up that sorry, filthy, rotten garbage, if I could not ever get one, bless God, I'd still warn you.
He said, well, how's you won't talk me into staying in college? I may not. Okay, well, I can do. I can wash my hands of your blood. When you go out after you quit college and you're in the habit of quitting, and you quit everything you start, you quit this and quit that and don't amount to anything, and one of these days you look back as they write me letters from all over America who wouldn't listen to me and say, preacher, I made a mistake. Tell you what, you won't point your unsuccessful, miserable finger at me someday. I was in a state out east. I was about to preach. I was sitting back in the back, about three or four rows in the back. Somebody else was preaching. I was to preach next. I felt a touch on my shoulder. I turned around. There was a lovely lady there. She whispered to me, and she said, Brother Hiles, you don't know me. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you now. There's a sermon going on. I'll talk to you as soon as he finishes preaching. She stayed there. After the sermon was over, during the next song, I said, now tell me. And she looked up and she said, Brother Hiles, I was a student in Hiles Anderson College. And she said, I got... every student gets sick. Brother Hiles, I've got what's this deficiency syndrome? What? Epstein-Barr? Well, I got it too. Brother Hiles, I'm tired all the time. So am I. I'm not saying Epstein-Barr isn't real. I don't even know her, never met her, but sounds like some kind of a makeup little gal to me. But what I'm saying this, I'm saying a heap of you young folks, you ought to be able to at least keep up an old 64-year-old man. And she said to me, Brother Hiles, she said, I hate to tell you this, but I didn't listen to you. She said, I'm pregnant. I'm not married. She said, would you help me find a place for my baby? And I began to cry. And she said, I'll never forget those girls' meetings at the college. I'll never forget when you walked out and how we cheered and how much fun we had. I'll never forget how loved I felt in those girls' meetings. Brother Hiles, I got tired and I quit. You warned me not to quit. And she said, my life is wrecked and ruined. And now that little girl's given up her baby. And I'm sure she wonders every day in the world, where's my baby? And what does she look like? And what color's her hair? I didn't keep her in school, but I got to warn her. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, you won't get me. Quit my soap operas. I may not get you to quit, but I tell you what you can do. I can do. I can make you look at my face every time you watch one. Every time you turn on the edge of night, the corner of darkness, secret storm, silent tornado, tiptoeing hurricane, General Hospital, and listen to that filth and garbage. I said filth and garbage. I can't make you turn it off, but I can wash my hands of your blood. I can't stop you taking dope. I can't get you to admit that you're unsaved if you're not saved. I can't get you to say, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ. I just walked the aisle and signed a card. Somebody told me to sit down in the front. But I did not know I was a sinner. And I can't get you to admit it. I'll tell you what I can do. I can warn you that if your name's on every church at all in America, you'll die and go to hell if you haven't been born again. I can wash my hands of your blood. I can be a soul warner if I can't win you to Christ. I cannot keep you from trusting the Pope for your salvation, but I can warn you and tell you you're going to hell if that's what you're trusting. I can't keep you from trusting El Papa across the street over here. I can't keep you from trusting your infant baptism and your confirmation and your sacraments and your Ash Tuesday and your Fat Tuesday and Ash... Every Tuesday is Fat Tuesday for me. But... You ask, I can't keep you from trusting that garbage to save your soul, but I can warn you and tell you it's Jesus for hell. I can tell you that. I can wash your hands of my blood. I can't keep you young people from going out and petting on Lover's Lane like a bunch of animals, but I can wash your hands of my blood and I can warn you. I can't make you stop smoking, but I can look at you when you have cancer of the lung and say, I warned you. I can't keep you from stopping drinking, but I can look at you when you've killed somebody in a car accident, maybe one of your own children. I can say, I washed my hands of your blood. Several years ago, and I'm a little timid about giving this story, but I think I will. Some of you folks, many of you folks will know the people.
fine couple in our church. I could call the name, I will not. He was a Sunday school teacher in this church. One of the finest Sunday school teachers we had. His wife was not real faithful to church, and he used to get up on Sunday morning and dress the kids. And I think she belonged to another church of some kind, denomination. Church of Christ, I think. I'm not sure. But anyway, this good man got up on Sunday morning and dressed the kids so they could come to Sunday school, and got their breakfast and brought them to Sunday school and church. He was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just like most of you people here tonight, always in church, always faithful. And then a little backsliding came. And after a while, farther and farther, he came to my office one night, and I told him, I'll call his name Joe. It was not Joe. And I said, Joe, why don't you get right with God? And Joe said, Preacher, I can't. I've gone too far. But I said, Joe, you taught Sunday school here before, and you've been a soul winner here. You know you ought to get right with God. And he said, Preacher, I can't do it. He said, now I've got to go, Preacher. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep on going the way I'm going. And I felt led of God to go block the door. And I put my hands on either side of the door like that. And I said, Joe, God just spoke to me. And God told me that you won't be alive 2 weeks from tonight if you don't get right with God. I said, Joe, don't test me now. I know what I'm talking about. You won't be alive 2 weeks from tonight if you don't get right with God. And I got on my knees there at the door, and I said, Joe, I beg you, don't walk out this door without getting right with God. Joe brushed me aside, walked out the door. I think it was less than 48 hours. Please don't hold me to that, but it was just 2 or 3 days. I got a call from Joe's wife. She said, Brother Hiles, have you heard about Joe? I said, no. She said, Joe took one of our daughters down to the Gulf near Biloxi, Gulfport, Mississippi, on a little vacation. And she said, I just got word that Joe was drowned in the Gulf of Mexico. And then she began to cry uncontrollably. She said, so was my daughter. I didn't win, but I warned him. I begged him. I was not a soul winner, but I was a soul warner. I was preaching in East Texas, Marshall, Texas. There's a man named Boulware. He lived about a half a mile down the street, down the highway. His wife was a faithful member. His children came, but he was a wicked man, 39 years of age. One Sunday night, he came to church. I'm not sure he'd ever been to church before. Just 39. He came to church that Sunday night, and I preached. I'll never forget it. As he walked out the door, I went back to the door and caught him at the door, and I said, Mr. Boulware, why don't you get saved tonight? He looked at me and brushed me off, and he said, I'll get saved in my own time, in my own way. And I said, no, you won't. No, you won't. I have a strange feeling tonight that you'll not get saved at all if you don't get saved right now. And he said again, Reverend, I'll get saved my own time, my own way. That was Sunday night. Joe Boyd started a revival on Monday, I think it was. He started a revival. Just about 24 hours or so after Mr. Boulware had left, or maybe 2 days or so, we were having a morning service. And in those days, we had morning services and revivals. Had small crowds, but had Bible studies in the morning. I looked over at the window, and I saw Mrs. Boulware crying and motioning me like that. It was a summer day. And I went over to the window, and Mrs. Boulware was crying. She said, for the house, come quickly. I'm sorry, it wasn't her. It was somebody else that motioned for me. And I said, what is it? And they said, Mr. Boulware just died of a heart attack. I went down to the house just about a mile or so, maybe less, from our church. I turned left on a little country road behind the Roberts store, and I walked in that house, and there was Mrs. Boulware up on top of her husband, giving him artificial respiration, screaming, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up! Too late, he's in hell now. I didn't win him, but I warned him. And brother, if I can't win you, I want to warn you. And if you can't win folks, at least you can warn folks. When I left Garland, Texas, to come here. It's an old story. 31 and a half years ago, I loved that little city. It was one of the cleanest cities you've ever seen in your life. Not a drop of liquor, even beer, could be bought in Garland, Texas. 28,000 people. I mean, we fought things there, such as dancing in the schools. We didn't have to fight pornography and stuff like that. We just fought dancing in the school. You'd be amazed. We had the president of the senior class is one of our boys one year, and the vice president was one of our boys, and the chaplain was one of our boys, and they had a meeting to plan the senior dance, senior prom. And our boys, what do you call it when you speak all the filibustered? Our boys filibustered and talked during the whole meeting, and they called off the senior prom because of our boys. So I'll just tell you that. But when I left Garland, Texas, clean little town, 28,000 people then, about 250,000 now. We were supposed to go back that night and preach our last sermon, but I could not go. I never told the people goodbye. We went Sunday morning and preached, went over and had lunch with a man named Mr. Minton. And after we had lunch, we took off. The people came that night to tell us goodbye, and we were gone. Had another preacher lined up to preach, and we were gone. Never told us goodbye. I couldn't face it. My heart was too crushed. Mrs. Hiles, Becky, 7, David, 5, Linda, not quite 2. We're in a car, our car driving out of that little town where we'd given our life, much of our youth. And I came to the city limit sign. And I pulled over beside the road. And I said, I'll be back in a minute. And I walked back to the Garland city limit sign. And it was up sort of on a high place, and I could see much of the city nestled over here on my left. And I said, Garland, these knuckles right here have knocked on every door in your town. I didn't get you all saved, but I presented the message of salvation to every home in the city of Garland in 6 years and 8 months. Ladies and gentlemen, God has placed us here in a strategic area, not only the Chicago area, but to show people what can be done all across this country. Every single person in this room ought to be a soul winner. But if you can't be a soul winner, you figure out some way to be a soul winner. Or your blood, their blood, be required at your hand. I looked at my daddy one day in the casket. And I knew he had died and gone to hell probably. But I told him. I warned him. About once every 6 months, I go to Chicago, to North Halstead Street. And in my car, I drive down Halstead Street, all the way from North Chicago to Harvey, where I drove in 1957, when God broke my heart for this area. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people by the thousands and hundreds of thousands in Chicago that think you get saved by confessing your sins to a priest. It's our job to tell them the truth. It's our job that every one of them gets a clear presentation of the plan of redemption. There are people all over Chicago that think that a priest can absolve your sins. It's our job to tell them differently. You say, well, the house won't you make them mad? When folks think about that, I mean, the folks across the street get mad at me, let them get mad at me. I'm a little peeved at them, but I'm simply saying. I tell you, you knew our people. You didn't know some of our bus kids one day went across the street over there and stole the whole offering. I mean, they stole the whole offering over there. I mean, all of it. I think $7,000. They stole it. We put it in our bus ministry. But anyway, no, they caught them. They caught them. They went down to a restaurant downtown Hammond and ordered some steaks, these kids did, and didn't have enough sense to pay cash. They paid by check, you know, and the check was made out to the All Saints, so-called church across the street. But I'm simply saying it's our job to tell everybody. Everybody won't believe, but everybody's supposed to hear. And everybody has a right to hear the simple presentation of the message of Jesus Christ. We can't win them all. We can warn them all. I'll never forget that guy standing there over here field preaching. I was convicted that he was preaching and I was walking past him. Have you won anybody today? No, I said, I haven't won anybody. Would have warned a lot. I've warned a lot. He that warneth souls is wise. Let's give it our best. Our Heavenly Father,